Special Board Budget Committee meeting, March 16, 2006. We have, for those of you who may be interested in such arcane detail, a quorum of one of our committees is 5 members from any jurisdiction. So we now have our 5th member and we can proceed. There is one action item and 2 information items. Now, we have a board meeting at 11 o'clock. Does it make sense to take the action item first? Is there objection to taking the action? I just don't want us to end up at the end of the time and not have, you know, an intelligent conversation. Should one be warranted, which I'm sure it will be, on this important matter. So, Mr. Tagliarini, without objection from the committee, I would like to proceed to consider item 2A, the approval of the FY07 Metro Matters Annual Work Plan, an amendment to the FY06 Metro Matters Program.
I'd just like to start by saying we've provided the board, again, with an executive summary and some basic information as to what the work plan changes are. You received the briefing last week when we last met about the work that's underway in the Metro Matters program. We do have some changes that relate mainly to where we came out in the Safety Loop Transportation Reauthorization, as well as a number of projects that are moving forward at a schedule a little different than what we estimated when we put together the work plan. Chuck Woodruff and Yvette Downs are here to give you the deeper presentation.
Thank you. We do have a presentation for you. This in my mind, this is basically kind of a status update on this program. I'm learning about this capital improvement program, which is huge. If you look in the blue book, the budget book, you would see 5 program elements to your capital program, and then beneath that you would see 20 subcategories, but you don't see this. Within that program, this $657 million program in 07, we have as many as 250 projects going on at any time supporting these 5 program elements, which can be as many as 800 contracts. What we have done working with TACASIS staff, we're going through every project and every contract. We have nearly completed the 05 reconciliation. We're well on the, there's a little bit more to do there. We're also working on the 06. So what we brought you today is projects that need, as Mr. Tagliarini said, they're moving forward a little more rapidly than anticipated, so we're recommending some cash flow adjustments. We're not changing any project estimates. We're not changing any contribution from the jurisdictions. We are just recommending some cash flow changes. The go-forward plan would be in the May time frame, we will come back to the board with more. This is not a complete picture, I recognize. We would come back to you in May. We will have the 05 reconciliation done. 06, of course, closes June 30th. So once we get that together, it will be towards the fall. So an update in May, and in the late summer, the September time frame, we will come back to you with the complete picture, 05, 06, and how those adjustments will impact the rest of the capital program going into the future years. So that's what we're bringing you today, and Yvette is going to briefly walk you through the details of this.
Good morning. What you have...
Could you introduce yourself for the record so we have everyone?
Yes, hi, I'm Yvette Downs. I'm the Acting Director of Capital Programming and Oversight. What you have before you is the CIP for fiscal 7 through 12, and of course the major portion of that is the Metro Matters Program and the annual work plan for FY07.
What page are you on?
I'm looking at the executive summary, but if you look at the resolution for approving the 07 Metro Matters Annual Work Plan, the first page of the attachment shows you the overall uses of the funds within the Metro Matters program.
Do you have the slides to the
show?
Are there no slides?
The second page has the source of funds. And that's where primarily where the change is here. The primary change is it is showing that in December, we assumed, the agreement assumes $260 million in federal discretionary funds, and the safety lieu reauthorization provided for only $104 million. In December, we did show you that we anticipate approximately $38 million more in formula funds throughout the Metro Matters program. So that partially offsets the discretionary fund loss. But the difference is made up in, possibly made up in increased debt to be paid for with future federal funds that are outside of the Metro Matters program, the formula funds from the 11, 12, and beyond period, 12 and beyond, that were not assumed in Metro Matters.
Mr. Smith?
Does that mean we've totally written off the prospect of the federal government providing any or all of that money that was earmarked in Metro Matters?
The way this is put together, we don't have any other legislation pending that would provide any additional funds other than the 104.
So effectively we're zeroing out the federal line in the Metro Matters program, is that right?
We received the authorization bill includes $104 million of the $260 that we assumed. The remaining amount would be extraordinarily difficult to get, not impossible, but extraordinarily difficult to get in the short run because there just isn't a legislative vehicle that's obvious where you could get the rest of the money.
The short run being the run of the Metro Matters program?
Right.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So that's basically the change from December is the shortfall in discretionary funds. And then, as said earlier, we have a 06 reprogramming request, which needs some cash flow need for certain projects within the 06 year.
Mr. Interim General Manager, there is word of a major lawsuit settlement for which funds have been transferred, and have they been earmarked in any way, and would it not be prudent to take such a windfall at this time and backfill a capital program like this in terms of the federal emptiness? Yeah. Shortfall. Good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, there was a recent settlement with a long-standing case involving a contractor working on the Green Line, which yielded over $40 million to the authority. It's actually been transferred to the authority. We're actually going through the exercise to understand the implications of the Metro Matters program, as well as all the unfunded Metro Matters items, and we're putting together a list of priorities for the board to choose from. Backfill missing federal funds, to backfill other funds that are in the Metro Matters work plan. That being our first priority for using those funds. Frankly, any other funds that we were to come across at any point in the future.
Well, when you say backfill other programs, is there something else that's expected to have a shortfall in the Metro Matters program?
No, there were unfunded items in the Metro Matters program as well. So there are a number of items where we assumed a certain federal level of and the jurisdictions agreed that if we didn't get that level of participation, then the jurisdictions would backfill those funds. There are other items that dropped off of the list, the next level. We want the board to have the full view of not just the basic Metro Matters program, but also those other items that that they agreed that didn't quite meet the test at the time.
Okay, let's, if I may suggest, let me back up just momentarily here. Are you finished with your presentation?
Yes, sir.
You're finished with it. So let's be absolutely clear about what we're approving today and what we're not approving. You're asking us to amend the FY 2006 Capital Improvement Plan. I'm on the executive summary page. You're asking us to amend the CIP in order to incorporate these items under increased IRP and rail program adjustments. Am I right?
Yes.
So that it's 0.4 million for remote temperature monitors, 1.4 million for environmental requirements, as well as labor costs, $4 million for labor costs for ongoing projects. Does that increase labor costs?
Well, it's just moving them forward. It's from the out years coming back to 06.
Okay. But it also...
And $30 million reprogrammed between facilities and systems projects. But that's not in that's not in FY06 CIP.
No, that's in 08.
What's happening is that we're advancing a number of the facilities and system projects. Those are moving faster. The spending on the rail cars is moving slower. And so we're able to...
Also, there were difference in contract awards, the difference in contract awards between the two projects.
You know, I think you really need to speak into the microphone. I mean, so we're above the conversational level. Yeah. Is it on?
Yeah, there's also some differences in the contract awards. When the contract awards came out, there was a shift, actually, of some monies between the projects within the rail car program. Was a shift in need.
Where is the detail on the $30 million reprogram?
There is
On the assumption that we're being asked to approve this $30 million reprogram, are we being asked to approve it?
Yes, it is in the projection for the, as part of the overall program for the six-year program. It's not approval of the 08 budget, but it is approval of the six-year program. And this is a change to part of the six-year program, so yes. And the detail,
this is simply a clarification question. Okay. Is the $30 million included in the action requested? Because I don't see it. The description and the action requested doesn't suggest to me that this is included. Is it included or not? Maybe the best way to look is for the...
Yes, technically it's part of the change to the 07 Metro Matters program. Because the annual work plan includes the look forward from 7 through 12.
Yes, Mr. Grant, if you were to go to the attachment that is the Metro Matters program budgeted and forecast, this table, it is the...
Well, let me, before I go to the attachment, is it in the resolution? Is it in the resolution?
No, what's in the resolution refers to the fiscal 2007 through 12 capital improvement program. It is fiscal 08, which is in that period. So
I'm
it's not.
Sorry, could you start that sentence again?
What is in the resolution is that you're approving the 7 through 12 capital improvement program for Metro Matters, and this is a year FY08 that is within that time frame. So it's not specifically called out that you're. That the project, that there's a shift of funds within that year.
Well,
it's not a technical reprogramming yet.
When were these materials made available?
To you?
Mr. Chamberlain.
These materials?
This meeting was originally scheduled for the 23rd, as you recall, and the request was made that we move it up to today to save some time, at which staff said, yes, we can do that. You have the JCC report, but we did acknowledge then that we would not have materials for the normal mailing, so those were given to you today because of the change in the schedule.
Yeah, I'm not absolutely certain about what I'm about to say, but I think this is correct. Is that I don't think this is a pro forma approval that we're being asked to do here. I mean, anything that involves a reprogramming of $30 million on its face would suggest a substantial change to me. And I think I for one am inclined to getting better information. I don't know whether others agree with that.
Mr.
Chairman.
Yeah, I would move to defer this to a later meeting and certainly a later board meeting. I don't want to take it up to our board meeting this morning. I think our staff has just gotten this information as possibly as late as last night, and I want them to have the chance to go through the numbers in more detail before we say yes.
It's been moved and seconded to defer this until a future meeting. I just want to add that I also don't like when these things are kind of tucked away, you know, where they're not explicitly detailed in the resolution itself. I mean, what you have said to me, if I understand it correctly, is that this $30 million reprogramming would be approved by our action of approval on the five-year or the six-year CIP. And so that's a little, you know, C Appendix B kind of thing. We don't, I don't want to see Appendix B on $30 million. Okay. So when you come back to us, Mr. Tangarini, if you would please have this fleshed out in a way that we can understand and appreciate the consequences.
The real actions are about $5.8 million in 2006. They have impacts throughout the six-year program, a program that we would come back on a six-month basis and will have continuous adjustments. So it's not changing the overall size of the program. It's just shifting when those, when that spending happens. It's shifting because actual contract awards are surprise different than what we budgeted. I wish they were that precise, but that's how it works. And it's also shifting because we're actually doing some of the work quicker in some areas than we are in other areas. I apologize in our attempt to be efficient in the presentation and the speed by which we're asked to produce it, that we don't make that case as clearly as we can and should. I'm very confident that there really isn't anything tucked away here. I understand when a $30 million action comes before the board, you're interested in seeing the full wiring done.
Mr. Tangarini, is it a $30 million equation? You seem to be finding a $5 million.
It's really for 2006, it's a $5.8 million action. It has $30 million of impact in 2008, the way it waterfalls through. But I agree. Our tables don't. There's no one place you can go to see that, and I think we do owe that.
Well, it's also this language, Mr. Lincoln. If you look on the executive summary page, the $30 million is justified in order to reflect contract award adjustments and necessary associated program costs. That's language which, you know, is too ambiguous for me. It isn't. This doesn't describe a waterfall. This describes, you know, things that are changing that we, the details of which we don't know. Anyway, I think for the present purposes, unless I'm mistaken, it's the sense of the committee that we should put this off. Is there further discussion? Further discussion? Hearing none. All those, Mr. Deegan.
Mr. Interim General Manager, the $40 million. Award that the authority just received for, was it the training lawsuit or something? That could be part of this too, right?
That could be part of that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've heard it twice, so that's great.
Right. Right. Well, some things are worth repeating, I suppose.
That's $40 million.
That's a good time.
It's a good thing.
Mr. Chairman, when you present this to us the next time, if we could, say, use the base of the existing CIP and then show us through the wonders of PowerPoint, show us which projects are moving more quickly, where we have the opportunities, where we've had the delays, and just kind of walk us through it that way, using the current CIP as a base, I think we'd be able to follow you and just and use a dynamic display.
Well, and I think what we can do actually is really isolate it to the specific actions, because if you see in the resolution, it's actually much clearer. The resolution clearly states we're talking about $5.8 million. $5.8 million that won't be needed in the rail car program until 2008. $5.8 million that is needed in 2006 based on our current spend pattern. It's just a cash management. Broader implications of the rail car program are $30 million over the life of the program based on these award issues, but that's not even dealt with in the resolution because the resolution doesn't really impact that. So to some extent, we were saying more than we had to in terms of what our executive summary of the exact action is, but I think we do owe it to the board to give you some, you know, view into the overall program. At the same time, not doing it at too fine a grain level that it works out to 65 slides.
Is there any problem in terms of time? Is there a time crunch on this that any delay to the issue of the contract?
Well, there is the annual work plan. The annual work plan for Metro Matters
is supposed to be sent to the jurisdiction right after the March board meeting. So there is a, and Carol can probably speak to that better. I guess the jurisdiction should have to understand that.
There's a time problem for jurisdictional review of the annual work program, but we expect comments from the jurisdictions on the annual work program that may reflect the need to reflect additional changes by the board. So if it's possible that we could at least get the authority to move forward with the work plan as drafted and specify that it is as drafted. Additional work has to happen both between the jurisdictions and the board. Bring this particular issue on the public.
Chair, can I ask the general manager to give us this and what he would like to see done?
Well, I understand the concern of the board about the specific action, particularly dealing with the $30 million program. I also would like the ability to move forward to the local jurisdictions and share with them a draft of our work plan, recognizing that additional work has to be done on, in terms of the overall program, what is actually a minor item. So if we could at least get their, move forward to get their comments as it's drafted, and then come back to the board for final approval of the work plan, I think we might be able to get the streams together. I'm confident that we come back to you, we'll be able to explain what's being proposed here today in a way that we'll get the board's assurance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, I'm prepared to, in a moment, to withdraw the motion to defer and to rephrase a motion to that effect. But I first want to just make a comment in terms of a point of understanding. On the lack of federal funds, the shortfall of federal funds, and where we now have $104 million in lieu of $260 million, I got to tell you, it's my understanding, and I've asked staff to confer with WMATA staff to work this out in terms of understanding, but it was my understanding, I think, in the Metro Matters program, that the federal money has certain projects associated with it. And my understanding was then that if the federal money did not materialize for those projects, that I thought, absent an action of the board, those projects fell off the table, as it were, in lieu of an action of the board to actually provide funding for those projects, rather than go immediately into debt as an answer to the lack of federal funding. If to go into the debt required an action of the board. I could well be wrong in that understanding, but that's just my recollection of it. And I've asked my staff to give with WMATA staff to reconcile that understanding. Really offline from here. I just offer what my concept of it was. It can be worked out before we meet again. Okay. I don't need an answer on that.
Really important.
Could we get an answer?
I don't think it's answerable.
It is answerable. It's very definitely answerable.
Okay, go ahead. What is your position?
The Metro Matters funding agreement has in it a $260 million additional federal funds for the rail car component. And then there are additional assumptions on the formula grants for the rest of the program. For the rail car component only. If there is a shortfall in federal funding, the agreement provides that debt shall be issued, and no other funds are forthcoming. It says that because we had to exercise the two options for the rail cars.
Understand.
The rest of the program, if there's a shortfall, there are a number of options. One of them is eliminating projects.
Okay, I concur with that, but $260 million, let me back up then. The $260 million from the federal government that we're talking about is purely for rail cars?
Yes.
Two discretionary money.
There are two federal fund streams. One was the $260 million we're going for the rail cars, and then there's federal formula funds.
Yes.
There are assumptions about both. The federal formula funds don't meet the assumptions we have. Then that is, things can start dropping off. If the rail car money didn't meet the assumption of $260 million, then we did go into passengers drop off. No, we go into debt.
I thought the total federal contribution to Metro Matters was $260 million.
No.
It was not. Okay.
We were counting actually our formula funds as well. We were making an expectation about those formula funds and building the Metro Matters program around that expectation.
Okay. Well, regardless of that, the staff will still have to confer with staff on the details of the program at this point. But I would move that we forward to jurisdictional staff the draft proposal before us as a draft proposal for their consideration and provide comment and for us to consider their comments when we consider the general manager's proposal at a future time.
Well, there's second. A motion to move this second. Let me just make one final point here, is that where I kind of jump track, so to speak, on this, is that on the executive summary, if you look at the executive summary, there's increased IRP, there's $5.8 million in three items, which are clearly delineated and which are very well described in the resolution. All of that I understood immediately and would not the need for a great assistance. It's the $30 million. And the question that I asked was, is this part of the action? Because I don't see the $30 million plainly in the resolution or, for that matter, in the action request. And that's where my issues arose. So you understand at least what I'm saying?
Yes.
So there was a $30 million reprogramming hung out there, but then not thereafter referenced in any detail in either the resolution or in the action request.
Exactly.
And so I'm willing to support this motion, but only as to the 5.8 million. I want some special note of some kind to indicate that the 30 million is not. I mean, it hasn't. I don't think it has been adequately described to us as to what that is.
Right. May I speak to that, Mr. Chairman?
Mrs. Mack.
We have a reprogramming policy that would require you to come back to us with the details of this $30 million, and then we would have to approve or disapprove. So that's a missing piece here in what we have before us.
There's no reprogramming
resolution. Request, right, exactly.
There's no reprogramming resolution. So perhaps the answer is, pardon me? Not on the $30 million, explicitly.
Well, is there?
Well, Mr. Tanglerini, I just, as one member of this board, I just want to know what I'm voting on, if you don't mind.
And
I don't know what I'm voting on right now, insofar as the $30 million. Mr. Smith has moved that this be put forward as a discussion draft, and we label it as a discussion draft, and that has not been the subject of any board action, other than to forward to the jurisdiction.
Mr. Graham, I have one more question. Is the, are these two actions separate from one another, or does the approval of the 5.8 then cascade to the $30 million?
Don't go that far.
But cascade in a way that impacts the $30 million?
first resolution really just deals with the $5.8 million. The second resolution, which deals with the work plan, the $5.8 million change being part of, has impacts throughout the entire program.
Right, but my question is, do those, are those impacts reflected in the $30 million, or is the $30 million a separate set of back and forth or pluses and minuses within the overall program?
Within the overall program, as part of the program we wanted to send out to the jurisdictions for review and comment.
But is my answer yes or no?
Your answer is yes.
They are separate.
They are separate. $30 million being part of the second resolution.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
The first resolution is really about $5.8 million from 2008 in the rail cars. What happens is the first resolution then creates the impact. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I'm totally lost about $30 million because when I find the resolution, I read it simply that, again, a funding adjustment under an upper matter. So I also have a thing that would make.
No, we're not advancing $30 million. It's in an 08.
Okay. I think this is enough. I think there are, most of the people in this room are clueless, to use your apt phrase. I think this is enough. I mean, I think what we can do now is to clearly mark this as a discussion draft. Mr. Tanguini, at the next budget committee meeting, without fail, will you come back with a
yes.
full explanation of the $30 million, and then we can know what we're talking about. Is there further discussion? Further discussion. All those in favor, does everyone remember the motion?
Yes.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now we return to follow-up questions and answers. Are there questions on the questions and answers? Is everyone happy with the responses that they got?
This one.
Any specific issues?
Mr. Chairman, may I?
With Mrs. Mack.
I just wanted to comment on the, we had an issue about the public hearing and when and where they were going to be scheduled. Could someone just speak to that?
Where is that? Where is that question?
That's on page 2.
Schedule public hearings for bus and rail service changes.
Right.
It's, what is the update on the hearing schedule? Mr. Chairman?
I've asked Mr. Hughes to join us.
Good morning, everyone. Just to give you an update on the hearings. We have we've identified that we need 3 hearings. We are working out the dates both with your staffs and yourselves about when they would be. Based on your approval this afternoon of having that, we would anticipate of finalizing the dates and when and where the hearings would be sometime by the middle of next week, and then get the notices out shortly thereafter. That's our schedule. But we don't have them yet. We did not lock down the dates because we haven't got the approval yet. We started with your staffs in terms of who's going to do the hearing and where they're going to be. One in each jurisdiction.
Okay. All right. And they will be in what month did you say? They'll be in April?
Probably in April, based on the schedules. We try to do them all the same week. That's why we're juggling schedules so that we don't have them so far apart.
Okay. Thank you. And I had, now our budget public session is scheduled for the 21st.
Now what page are you on?
Well, this is really not here, but we haven't really made enough.
Mrs. Mack, the budget information session is scheduled for the 21st. That's next Tuesday. We'll start with an open house at 6:30, and then at 7 o'clock, the meeting itself will will begin. And yes, we have had some notice out there. In fact, we've done some, we've taken out some small ads in the Express in particular, in the Gazette, and a number of the community newspapers as well. We've also published a little three-fold brochure that tells people to look on the website for the hearing dates, because we put that out in advance. There's information as well on the website, and people can, I don't know if we've had any sign-ups, but they can sign up now through 2 o'clock in the afternoon of that meeting.
Ms. Graham needs to be brief, as do I guess, on how the meeting is going to proceed, what role we are playing.
There was a memorandum that was...
You have it on your calendar.
I have it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's on everybody's calendar. There was only one conflict for one of the board members, Mr. Yule, who was not available. We sent out a memorandum earlier this week to the board to brief them on the format and the agenda. Essentially, what we anticipate, if the board agrees, is that we would start with some brief remarks from you, and if Mr. Graham or any other board members obviously want to say something, we'd have remarks from them. A very short presentation from Chuck and his staff that just very quickly gives people an overview of the budget, and then, you know, obviously we turn it over to the people, and then they can speak and, you know, give their comments.
Okay. Thank you.
I think, you know, I just, if I could follow up with that, I think it's very important that we have, and I haven't seen the material, so you may already have done this, but that we have intelligible and relevant information that's presented, particularly that evening, in other words, but briefly presented in a, you know, it's again striking the right balance between it, you know, not being a comic book, it being meaningful, I mean to say, but not being overwhelming, because a lot of this is overwhelming for most of us.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a very complex process here. But I think where we want people to really focus in on this should be the subject of a really an intelligible presentation. Do you have that in mind?
Well, yeah, we were. Yes, sir, we do indeed. Mr. Woodruff has been working on that, and he is a master at intelligible presentations. So, but we'll, with your guidance, obviously, we'll go back and look at it and be sure that it meets all of those requirements.
But I think that people should be given, for example, and we can discuss this offline.
Okay.
But I think people need to have a sense of a graphic and easy to understand display of how the system is finance, who is paying for it, how the monies are distributed, again, in a graphic display, things of that nature, you know, so that people can have the ability to comprehend the basic information rapidly and then be able to display. I have a question on page 4 relating to this rather good idea by Mr. Linton, who I don't see. Well, anyway. This germ of an idea that was presented has now real life and budget, and, you know, I think I just want to say that I would need to have a good deal more discussion about this, and I appreciate your ability and willingness to kind of flesh out some of the details, but these details are very important. I'm concerned about spending $850,000 or anything approaching that. For this type of meeting, I don't know. Well, we need to have a much fuller discussion of this, and I just want the record to reflect my viewpoint that this is not necessarily the way I would want to go.
Mr. Chairman,
I don't know how others feel. I haven't consulted with others. But.
I agree that I think both the date is not aggressive enough, but that the cost estimate is too aggressive. So I'm going to work with staff to see if we can do it sooner. And see if we can do it much cheaper.
But there's also, Mr. Linton, we're talking about your idea here. There are meetings and there are meetings,
I
right?
Agree.
I mean, this envisions a more than I envision. You know, I mean, we may want to begin with a much smaller meeting that brings together the key actors in the key jurisdictions rather than everybody in the world.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't know. But I. I'm sure there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm sure there's 7 points of view on this. I'm right here today, maybe
eight.
More. Eight.
Right.
But I'm just not I'm just not here at this idea.
Right.
Just so you know.
But
I don't know whether others are.
I concur, Mr. Chairman.
This is not where I am, and I'm just speaking for myself. And so I'd rather see this pulled back, and not be viewed as anything approaching the definitive. I'm for my own part, and let's have a fuller discussion about how this might look.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Questions on the question?
Well, Mr. Linton, it was your proposal.
Well, you know, I had proposed it, and quite frankly, this is quite close to what I had envisioned. So obviously, there was a different view on the board when I suggested this, or a different interpretation. And I think what you're suggesting, Mr. Grant, to some degree has been done through some meetings that take place with. Regional council and some others when the initial bus plan was laid out about 2 years ago. That kind of little small grouping, I think, has occurred. It seems to me that we need a real meeting with people rolling up their sleeves, bringing together all the players, because this is a massive effort that we're undertaking, and it does involve a lot of players. A lot of major players, not a few people sitting around the room, because we're talking about, as I view, a regional bus system. That's the implications of the interface that we would have here that would be comparable to our rail system. And you can't do that with just people around here. So I have a different view.
Ms.
Hudson?
My concern is that I agree that we should focus on the cost and as well as the time frame, but as Mr. Linton said, the breadth of what we want to do, and if you think about, and I thought the key of what he said was we want to talk about how to make a customer's trip, period, bus rail integrated, such that jurisdictionally or facility, it becomes an experience that we can all work to occur. And I think that's going to take a lot more than just talking to each other. I think it means bringing in a breadth of stakeholders that we probably have not gotten in the room together with. And, I think we should. I think the discussion is an appropriate piece, so that we all are on the same page of what we want to do. But I did think of it as that. I thought it would.
But I think the project should be ambitious. I just wanted it to be ambitious in terms of time, mm-hmm. and maybe less ambitious in terms of price. So I appreciate your raising that concern. I think that many of the work elements can be preserved, and we can still do it faster, and we can do it for less expense. And so I'll work with staff on that. I think that given the comments that we've heard, that there is a balancing between, I think, a continual need for ongoing discussions with our regional partners, and that should be something that we do all the time, and that should have essentially no cost. But there is this opportunity, as we make an $800 million investment in our bus system, to really come in and say, do we have the best strategic plan? Are we doing it according to best practices? Are we implementing all the after peer review analysis? And are we doing it in such a way that it integrates very well with our other regional bus systems as well as our rail system? So I think that there is the ability to meet the ambition of what I thought was an exciting idea offered by Board Member Linton, but also recognize the need to do it quicker and the need to do it for less cost, as pointed out by Budget Committee Chairman Graham.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, just mention that inside the $850,000, about $400,000 worth of staff time and effort. So we included the total cost, including the time that WMATA staff would contribute. We're thinking of at least 2.5 FTEs just to kind of manage the development and all of the coordination that has to be done with the jurisdiction to kind of get the program organized, materials developed. So there is a lot of staff time included in that $850,000. We could obviously to the degree that you want to cut it back, we can do that, and or working with the GM, make some additional staff resources available.
Mr. Paul.
Mr. Mr. Jones, is that existing staff?
Excuse me, sir?
Is that existing staff?
Existing staff. We'd have to do some shifting of resources inside the organization to accommodate.
This is accounting for the total cost, which includes your time for moving that staff. It's not contracted out staff, or it's not...
Total cost.
It's not yours, Mr. Chairman.
Mrs. Holmes.
It's not new expenditure anywhere. That is, these are staff that are already programmed and expended.
All right. Again, this is an initial estimate. We're asking for board comment. I think what I've heard is that there is an interest in an ambitious program, but there is also some further interest in having a broader discussion about exactly what structure will take. So with those comments, I'd like to go back and work at a much finer level of granularity with the staff on this proposal.
I have a couple of points on that. I hate to bring up the dreaded word reprogramming, but the $400,000 that Mr. Thomas referred to sounds to me like a reprogramming. If we have $400,000 worth of staff resources in-house that we would then divert to this project to the tune of 2.5 FTE, that's a pretty intense effort. Something would not be getting accomplished. And so I think we have to look at the trade-off on there and, you know, just make sure that as you present the resources needed for this effort, we don't overstate it. So if it's actually only $400,000 in additional funds,
right,
that looks different than
$800,000.
Right. But the other point that I think we need to spend a little bit more time on is really the clarification of the scope of this project. I've heard enough sort of input on it to suggest that we ought to write out what the scope is, and the next time it comes back to us, we ought to have an opportunity to make sure that we're all on the same page.
Yeah, and Ms. Mack, we do have a scope, but again, we're still working with the GM on the scope, but we actually have it. We did share it, a very early draft with Mr. Linton, just to make sure that we're kind of on the right track, and I'm sure we'll be ready to review that scope of work in a lot more detail the next time.
I'm going to change the subject, so when you finish...
Let me just finish this. I mean, this is a Q&A. This is not, you know, I don't think this is the right vehicle for this. But this might be the perfect description of this. I don't know.
Right.
But I would just like to see it come forward in a proposal that we can all participate in. We've had one member suggest something. Others have obviously agreed with that suggestion. I'm not disagreeing with the suggestion. I'm just saying let's at least pause long enough to figure out whether this is the vehicle that we want. I mean, this may be absolutely the right thing to do. I just don't know.
This was a Q&A, and so this was the staff's first attempt to try to answer the suggestion by the board. We've gotten some more direction. I think we can come back and give you a formal presentation of a formal proposal with a formal budget.
Great.
Mr. Chairman, one last question. The existing staff resources, would these be planners or engineers?
Well, the proposal, without getting into all of the details, the proposal is to work with the media relations department and maybe reassign some of those resources into the planning program to help the planning department to develop the overall program and to manage it. That's kind of the initial thought we had. Since there is a lot of media related, not so much media, but a lot of materials development, marketing, of the conference, reaching out to the different groups and things of that sort that we'll have to do. So that's kind of an early thought,
Okay. Just
kind of readjust the staff, but it's not increasing any staffing levels. We'll take on the responsibility with the resources we have.
Well, there's $400,000
Let's talk more.
Okay, are there further questions on the questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. If I look at the schedule for Budget Committee meetings, our next meeting is April 13th, and at that meeting, we would update the cost and revenue, and I assume then update the budget items. We've talked about a lot of budget changes, and many of them are in these documents that we're looking at. That would come to us, and then we would expect to approve it that very same day. I'm wondering if those materials could come to us earlier. We don't need a meeting necessarily, but we are talking about a lot of changes. Some of them are referred to in here, and I'll mention a couple of them. But we need at least, I would say, 2 weeks to review them, to ask any questions that we might have of our staff, and just make sure we're prepared to make decisions on the 13th.
I'm not sure I'm understanding. You're going to get material on the, well, prior to the 13th in the mail out, but then your ultimate approval of the budget?
Well, it says here we'll submit the budget to the jurisdictions on April 13th.
But it's much like this Metro Matters work plan, which this will be, again, a preliminary view of the board. We'd then submit it to the jurisdictions for their review and comment. The board would still have the opportunity then to incorporate those comments, change those comments, and even change the final program for in June.
Sure, but our effort is to submit to jurisdictions pretty much our final thinking on the budget.
As close as you can get.
Yeah, exactly, and I realize it could change, but we don't want to send it with a lot of up-in-the-air things ourselves. And we talked about bus changes that were not within guidance in our initial look at the budget, many of which we think we can fit now, we could fund. And I'm just concerned about seeing all of those for the first time a week before April the 13th. And let me just give you another, let me give you an example. Okay, on page 6, we have, now I have to plead ignorance on this. Is this the first set of, we've looked at this before. Those are familiar.
These were the additional bus changes that you asked us to try to incorporate to the extent that we could in the FY07.
Right, but we've seen them before. Those are the ones that we had talked about several times.
Right.
Okay, and on page 5, that's pending. So I'm assuming that that would not be in the budget that we would be expected to approve. And on page 3, that's one of those items that we believe we could fund within available resources, and so that would be in the budget. I guess my only question is, to what extent will these proposals that are here be included in the budget that you bring to us that we would be approving on the 13th?
Well, last we met, we did update the 07 budget, and there was approximately $6 million that's available to the board for your needs. And then we listed below that what we call policy issues. So, for example, the $1.8 million on page 3 was included in that, the item you mentioned.
But there was $5 million that was not included.
That's right.
And so we would have to make a decision whether which $5 million we wanted to fund. And I don't think we did that. We probably all have a preference, and I think the ones that did fit inside perhaps were our highest priorities, but we just need to take another look at them and make sure they are.
I think what we were anticipating is that those would continue to be on the list of items for policy discussion to be sent out to the jurisdictions for their review and comment back to you all, so that you could not only get our input, but jurisdictional input onto jurisdictional preferences for bus service, rail service, this, that, and the other thing. So the spreadsheet that we had up last meeting that Chuck was just talking about is what I think I was anticipating preparing for you and any changes that needed to be made for that, and that is the thing that gets sent out for review and comment.
I appreciate that, but I guess what I'm saying is I think we need to have another crack at it before we send it out.
Okay. We can turn that into an action item.
You know, we may want to move something up and something down.
That's fine. Should we turn that into an action item for the April Budget Committee meeting, and then based on your actions, that's what gets sent out for review and comment?
I would think so.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay, and I have, if you will indulge me, I have one more question.
Could you yield on a question? What action are you going to put into that? What's the action?
Remember they identified $6 million last time, and that $6 million would be available to fund items that could not fit in the guidance? And so the question is, and we had $11 million worth of items that were not in the guidance, but $6 million worth of funding. Mm-hmm. So which of the $11 million will we...
Correct.
How will we prioritize?
What policy direction
are
you going to
give us? They're going to propose an action of priority?
No, we're going to simply list out the items and ask for your policy direction on which should be included in the budget.
Okay, so there's going to be an action item on the agenda for us to decide between the 11.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
That's what we're saying. This information item is going to turn into an action item.
And my point is that we need to do that before we send it to the jurisdictions, because the jurisdictions need to know what our priorities are.
I don't know. And she hadn't finished it. You hadn't finished it.
I just
want to know who's on first.
Go ahead.
I have another item, but it's a different question.
As I try to experience deja vu, when we were dealing with this at the last meeting, my recollection is we were looking at the projected cash flow, and at that point, my recollection is correct. You felt that here was this above guidance, these options, I think about 5.8 or something like that, and that based on your estimates subject to continued review as it went along in the months leading up to the closeout of the fiscal, that we would have the dollars in all likelihood to do all of those items.
Also, though, recognizing that there were some continuing risk factors, mm-hmm. we haven't been able to lock down diesel fuel prices yet. And every time we talk about it, something else happens, like Iran threatens to use oil as a weapon. I'd like them to stop talking about that. We haven't finalized the labor agreement yet, so that remains a question out there. And so I think it's important that we do establish some priorities along the items so that if any of these other factors, these cost factors, change, then we as staff would have some sense of what is your first, second, third priority, so we can or can't do them. So we will be coming back at that time in April with FY07 operating budget cost and revenue update as well. And so there may be, there may be more or less to help us along here. The problem is the sooner we give you that information, the less current it is. That's simply a fact. So that may mean you have better or you have worse information the sooner we give it to you. So that's why we're trying to strike a balance between your request to get it as soon as possible and our ability to present you the information as precisely as possible.
Okay, I just didn't want us to be presented with information on the 7th that required us to kind of make choices that we hadn't had any discussion on,
right,
and then have a final approval on the next thing.
Now, I think what you would get on the 7th is simply updated cost and revenue numbers, and that would help you, frankly, determine where that line is drawn against options that you already have seen. So if we could try to keep to the original schedule, we'll try very hard to present the information in the way as obviously as possible so you know what the trade-offs are.
Okay. And then I just have one final issue. We talked about the bus and rail ridership survey, and that would be one of the items that will go into 07. I really have an interest in seeing if we could do that survey in 06.
And our plan, Mrs. Mack, was to bring it back to you as part of our third quarter review in '06, because I believe you had indicated that before you wanted to move as quickly as possible.
Right.
So that would be an appropriate use of that money as a one-time expenditure.
Okay. Thank you.
Further discussion on this line? Further discussion? Okay, then we proceed now to the report from the JCC and the review of the proposed FY07 budget. We're very anxious to have this report. Who is presenting the report?
I want to introduce myself. I'm Gary Ehrenrich. I'm with Montgomery County. And with me is Todd Wigglesworth from Fairfax County.
No one from the District of Columbia?
Well, let me just explain. The group met as entirely as a group, the Jurisdictional Coordinating Committee. And there was a member that was going to be here today, but I understand her sons are getting married, so she can't be here for the presentation. But it's a collaborative effort of all of the members of the JCC. And everybody is take the good and the good part points and the good comments.
Just one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just one son.
Seven brides, well, seven brothers.
Hey. That's why Todd's here. It was Rosemary Covington is the person that
she was participating.
Absolutely. And as well as other people that are listed on the last page. We've had several intense meetings with ourselves and discussions, and then with staff, and we're very happy with the response from staff to our inquiries. And
the three of us were the representatives from each of the states, if you will.
The three of us?
Including Rosemary.
Well, and the reason I'm asking this question, just at the get-go, is that I'm looking at the last page. Where is the District of Columbia? Only one person from the district?
Well, Rosemary, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, okay, good. Okay, so this is the formal membership of the JCC,
yes,
as we know it, and this is what participates. Okay, good. That's what I just wanted that clarification.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'd like to first give you an outline of our presentation and then give you an executive summary of some of the conclusions and recommendations that we would like you to consider. Some of this follows the conversation you just concluded about things to be added and concerns of the 07 budget. So I think it's timely that we're giving our report today. First, I'd like to talk about where we were last year when we came before you with the 06 budget recommendations, what's happened in 06 with respect to those recommendations, then go to what in those recommendations we'd like to move forward into 07. And then some new 07 recommendations for consideration, some of which have already been raised by board members over the last several months. As part of an executive summary of the presentation, we looked at 06 in several different areas, expense, revenue, and budget development process. With respect to the expenses, we have not made a lot of progress. I would say the story in dealing with controlling expenses and dealing with issues has been a difficult one. Diesel swap, overtime labor, overruns, and the level of rail service supplied, the question of how much supplied versus how much was budgeted, continue to remain to be problems for us. Revenues is a better story. If you just go back to the first, that's it. That's fine. Revenues are a slightly better story in terms of progress. We had suggested a MESA methodology that we believe the revenue estimates for 06 were woefully low, and apparently that's true, and that's good news, because now we have some adjustments for 07 to deal with different revenue projections. But the process of calculating revenue and making those projections was an issue that we had and we brought before you. We also talked about the lack of bus data, the rail data, to be able to make decisions on the bus system, and I think we're making some progress in that. The third area that we talked about in 06 for an overview is the budget process. And we had talked about zero-based budgeting, and we talked about the new emphasis on performance measures and strategic planning process. And I'd say that in terms of where we're at in performance measures and how we're doing in evaluating budget issues, we've made tremendous progress with the new CFO. And good relationship with him and his staff. New for 07, we have a couple of new initiatives we would like to discuss with you. Some issues dealing with staffing of bus service planning. We'll go into some of the reasons why we think additional staff is required. The need for, as already mentioned, bus and rail surveys, passenger surveys, and how they would be used. And a new item also on how we manage passenger or customer information. There are a lot of new initiatives that the board has taken forward with staff that are tremendously exciting, but there's no we don't believe there's the continuity needed within the programs to have it strategic and effective as hopefully envisioned. So in conclusion, as part of the overall summary, we made a lot of good progress last year. We have some new issues we want to continue to bring forward this year. The next slide, I'll go quickly over the 06 recommendations and where we're at with them, because and stuff that's bullet, the stuff, the italics, bold fonts are a reaction to the item in the 06 recommendations, so that in terms of the diesel swap, we know that no action was taken. It's still an issue to be considered. We have some additional suggestions with respect to that. In terms of 07 labor, we were looking at analyzing the labor overtime use to see how it is justified. And we got a report last month in terms of the labor variance of $3.7 million or 1.2% of the budget. The reality is that the labor variance really is $11.6 million of overtime, but it is compensated by salary vacancy savings. So overtime is $11.6 million, but what's shown on the balance sheet is $3.7 million because of the savings and salary. Metro access is still an issue that the board is addressing. In terms of the next slide, this is an area that we thought was very, very important to us when we did the budget last year because of the level of expense. And we looked at the amount of deployment when the 6,000 series cars would be deployed, and in the budget was 1.3 million revenue miles for that deployment in 06. Now, based on the schedule of the deployment, it's unlikely that there would be any revenue miles in the fiscal year. So, therefore, the budget is projecting an expense that doesn't exist or won't exist. The budget impact of that is about $3 million. So when you look at where we are on the expense ledger, which we've seen the six-month review a few weeks ago, there's a $3 million that we're overspent already, along with the $17 million, the other money that's been there. So just to let the board know that expenses still seem to be significantly over budget in terms of the existing level of the overtime and the recognized the 6,000 series cars. I will say, though, that in terms of this issue for 07, we are working with staff, and staff has identified a performance measure to help with this budget to look at the amount of service on the street, to look at how service on the street is planned and budgeted for. Next slide, please. Revenue, very quickly, we talked about, we believe that last year that there was an underestimation of revenue. And before the 06 budget was approved, there was a baseline adjustment of $8 million. We also said at the time that there was a need for better quantitative revenue forecasting tools. And I know there's been discussion this year of how to do that, but in the past the board hasn't funded the studies needed to advance that item. We still believe, as revenues are $629 million, that having an analytical tool to project and manage is a very, very important item for an organization of this size. The lack of access to farebox data last year was a big issue in the ability to move forward. We are moving very, very well with monthly ridership data by route, but we still are not getting the data that we need at the trip level, the individual bus trip level. And we think that that's important to work on this year. We talked last year about the TIP policy, that this 06 is the first year that TIP money is being used for operations. We're not saying it's a bad idea, but we think we should re-examine how TIP money is to be used and whether TIP should be used for operating expenses. And the one item that we had actually some discussion with you when we made our presentation last year is a comprehensive strategy for managing revenues. With $629 million of operating revenue, there doesn't seem to be anybody really on top of the top line managing that revenue, where you have individual components, including real estate and marketing and customer service, advancing proposals to raise revenue, but there's no comprehensive effort for someone managing all of that effort within the organization. Maybe that's an existing person under the CFO, maybe that's a new person that needs to come forward. But as an organization that gets over 50% of its revenue from operating sources, it's really important to have that kind of position that can provide, look for opportunities to enhance revenue, whether it's at midday service promotions, where we have capacity in the system, where in our system do we have capacity, do we have opportunities that maybe we're not taking advantage of it. That someone needs to, we think, to look into that area. Next slide, please. I'm not going to go into this slide very, very much because I think we made tremendous progress with moving for the business plan development and the performance-based budgeting. The carryover item, the next slide, that we'd like to continue to discuss with this committee and the board is to continue to work with best budget practices. I think we're doing that. Look at incorporating productivity measures, which we're doing. We do want to quantify revenue forecasting. We think that's still a very, very important need of this agency. Manage a revenue management strategy, improve route level ridership data, which we're making good progress. We talked about the TIF, analyze labor overtime. It's still, I believe, an issue, and we still need to stay on top of what's going on with Metro Access. Rail car deployment and parking. Parking utilization is other issues. For 07, we have some new issues we want to bring to your attention. Some of them are not new to you because you've already discussed them, but we feel that it's important that we incorporate it into our report. Diesel fuel swap, bus service planning, we believe is understaffed. We have some recommendations for you. The surveys that have already been discussed. Management of customer information is a new item for us, but we'll go into some detail. You'll see why we think it's important to bring forward with a proposal, and to continue to talk about the budget risks that the CFO just and the interim general manager just related to you, the last budget item. On the swap, we still think it's a good idea if the price is right. We're not experts in what the price is, so we believe that the budget's at $2 a gallon for diesel fuel. If you could get a swap at $2.05, perhaps that premium is worth paying for and is worth advancing. But again, we're not experts in that area. Next slide. I want to talk about the bus service planning. As you know, you may not know, there are basically three service planners for 180 bus routes. One planner for each of the jurisdictions. So 180 bus routes over 1,400 metro buses. And we now are getting to have the opportunity to get better data on at route level, hopefully trip level, and passenger information. We believe that someone has to be employed to analyze the data so that we can make good decisions about bus service changes and that affect the contributing jurisdiction. So we think we need to look at route level analysis to evaluate the bus service. And we also need to devise a system of who really is in charge of all this new data that's coming in. And we know that it's probably service planning, because they were the ones that are collecting it. But how is it archived? How is it used for planning purposes and for future projections? So having additional people and resources we think are important. For instance, one of the tools used by jurisdictions in bus route service planning is we're very, very actively using GIS tools, geographic information system tools. Those tolls are not widely used within service planning today within Metro. And we believe that having access to those tolls with the data would be very, very helpful and something that we'd like you to consider. Second item, we've already talked about the surveys, just some numbers.
When you talk about the bus planners, what is the one industry standard relative to, say, what you're talking about, and what is other jurisdictions?
It's a good question. it's a complicated answer, though, because there's bus service planners, and then there's people that are doing the actual routing and the routing analysis. And overall, I think Metro probably is consistent with other jurisdictions and other service operators. But in terms of the planning side, we think that they were short about three staff people when we did our analysis. It's not necessarily a lot of staff people, but they're, you know, as I said, there are 180 bus routes, and a lot of segments of those routes. In terms of the survey data, these are estimates from staff of what things have cost. The rail survey was done in 2002, and we believe it's about we believe it should be, in the past, it was done every 2 years at $400,000. We believe that cost is probably still a pretty good cost moving forward. The Metro bus survey is more expensive because it involves a lot of routes, a lot of runs, and a lot of jurisdictions. It's a little more complicated. You get more information about origins and destinations. And that's probably in the $700,000 range. We would like these surveys to be in the 07 budget, but we would agree that the sooner the better, and if there's a way of incorporating them now. The other issue that comes up in terms of statistical methodology is that you can have an ongoing survey mechanism, and it doesn't have to be all done at once and stopped. In the Council of Governments and other transportation planning organizations, as well as even the U.S. Census, are now doing ongoing survey methodologies that you would budget the same and have a workforce that were ongoing collecting this information that would be statistically valid. Customer information is a new item for us, and it came to light because of all of the initiatives the board is taking this year. The bus stops, signage, the bus information, passenger information systems, the PIDs at the Metro rail stations, and a lot of very good things that are taking place. But if you look at the staff, at staff, like we are, looking at, well, what's the passenger see at different aspects or different levels of the system, we found that maybe there should be someone in charge of this. Everything is going on as individual, discrete, funded items, but there is not necessarily continuity from top to bottom, from a strategic and from a message, from an image and message point of view. And there's a lot of new things going on in terms of next bus, in terms of passenger information. We believe that because of individual departments working on this, there needs to be someone at least with responsibility to make sure that it's all consistent and accurate and follows some strategy and some perspective. You have the passenger signage for the rail stations, the new fare schedules that are at the fare machine. You have the directional signage at rail stations where the buses are. They have the bus shelter maps. You have the internet ride guide. You have rail maps on trains, next bus information. And from a longer-term standpoint, there's a whole bunch of other new passenger information systems that we think should be somewhat integrated. But you're going in the right direction with advancing these programs that just need to be, we believe, coordinated. The last item really deals with budget risks, and those have already been discussed, and quite frankly, we don't have any additional insight into these areas as staff of jurisdictions, just to let you know that we think that in your deliberative process that you take this into consideration. The issue of third-party claims, fuel power costs, and also, you know, one of the items is what are the operating efficiencies of the conservation within the system. Some operations actually do studies, and I know once others have been discussed of how we can make the system more energy efficient. And then you have the diesel pollution as well. I would just like to say, as I conclude the presentation, that we've really had a very good working relationship with staff. We've had in the past as well, and Rick Harcum has been very good in getting us the information that we needed.
I'll give you the $20 after the meeting.
Yeah, I know. Todd and I would be willing to address any kind of questions you have, where we were, or where we're going.
Well, Well, first, let me thank you very much for your report and all the effort that's gone into this. I believe this is the second year we've done this in this type of open meeting, and I think having your point of view on these issues is, for me, it's very, very useful. And so thank you for your work.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Aaron, my questions aren't so much for you as for our staff folks here. And the question is on the issue of the 6,000 car miles budgeted this year. Have we accounted for that yet in the budget adjustments that we've made to date, or is that forthcoming in the next iteration of the new budget?
We'll talk about it in the next report. There was a $3 million annual cost, so halfway through the year, all else being equal, we should have been $1.5 million under budget, but I'll be sure and focus on it for the next report.
Okay, so not just in the monthly report or quarterly report, as it were, but in terms of the budget presentation as well. Was that picked up in the prior presentation, or is it going to be reported in the next one?
Well, it's picked up in that when we look at the compensation accounts, we look at the big account, we trend it, and we come up with a number where, in this case, we were over, primarily, as you know, driven by overtime. So the global answer is, yes, it was accounted for because it was in all the nuts and bolts of vacancy factor as well as this $1.5 million. The labor account would have been over more than it was had we not had this savings.
I'm talking about rail car miles.
I thought you were talking about the 1.5. I apologize.
Jump in. The cost for operating the rail cars is primarily propulsion power, brake parts, miscellaneous utilities, those kind of things. And what I'm saying is, all else being equal, those line items in the budget, propulsion parts, should be $1.5 million under budget at December. To the extent they're not, there's something else overrunning the budget, and I'll focus more on that. It's in the math. You can clearly see it in the math, but I haven't focused on it in the narrative, so it's something that we'll definitely write up in the next quarter.
Yeah, and my concern when I was looking at Mr. Woodruff was more on the FY07 budget proposal that in the baseline, that's taken out of the baseline going forward.
Mm-hmm. Let me think about that.
All right. And then the next issue, I know we've talked about this before, and I don't recall where we've left it, and that is the unallocated TIF funds. Did we not leave that there was going to be a policy proffered on what to do with those? And there hasn't been one yet.
I'll tell you my recollection on that. We have a policy, of course, that that had an impact on funds up through 2007 or 8, I believe.
And these are the overage funds.
Exactly, right. And we did not specifically have a policy on the overage funds. However, we have TIF funds that have been part of the operating revenue for years. Mm-hmm. And in fact, at the point where we identified TIF funds as sub-allocations to jurisdictions and a pretty much use for capital, that was kind of a new thrust.
And the general manager has a pot out of the TIF fund.
Exactly.
Understand that. But right. This is money that is, for lack of a better word, windfall money that came in over and above what was estimated in that allocation. And I thought that there was going to be some policy developed or some direction developed as to what we were doing with that, or does that just all get plowed into the general manager's operating position?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the existing policy does provide that it be used as operating funds, but I'm not real sure about that. We need to go back and
so any money over and above on transit-oriented development goes into operating?
No.
What happens to it?
You have a current policy that sets your priorities actually for a number of capital expenses. Since that time, you have allocated some of the future TIF to certain operating activities. But your stated policy prioritizes the use for IRP and other capital needs.
I thought that had a date on it. I don't know. We should go look at it.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously, you know, we had the amounts allocated mm-hmm. to the jurisdictions mm-hmm. by the formula, and now there's this extra money that constantly is being kind of tapped that maybe from a policy standpoint we want to be allocated more formulaically to the jurisdictions based on the capital projects.
think we need to go back and look at it, because that there definitely was a very hearty debate in the board about how those funds were going to be used, and it's time to take another look at that.
Okay. I'm sure Mr. Zimmerman would want to participate in that.
Absolutely.
Mr. Zimmerman is glad the yellow line is moving again.
We're talking about TIF money and TOD and the extra money that's come in and how that might be allocated in the future, other than tapping.
Recent success.
Yeah, recent success, and other than allocating it on an ad hoc basis for an item here, an item there, operating-wise, to have a more broad vision in terms of planning that extra money that's coming in and how we might use it on future capital.
It certainly belongs in capital at one time in London. Capital investment, you know, and that's the contribution you're looking for.
Yes, thank you.
Doesn't make sense.
And that is in line with your current policy.
As I said, there could be a hearty debate.
Is there further discussion on the JCC report? Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to commend Rick, Chuck, and Dan for providing that information. The cooperation hasn't always been the bellwether between the staff and jurisdictional staff and Metro, and I very much appreciate the new standards.
I just want to thank the JCC for this review. I think it's particularly significant that you've gone back and looked at your recommendations for 2006 and talked about how they've been incorporated in what we are doing as we move forward. And I also am very pleased with your report because your review of this is kind of a semi-outside view of what we're doing here. And it's pretty much consistent and reaffirms that we are moving in the right direction, that we are being very careful with the public's money. So I'm very pleased to get that reaffirmation. So thank you for your work.
Well, just also for your information, last night was the first meeting we had with the RAC budget subcommittee.
Oh, great. Okay. I was concerned about them getting involved as well. So
they're
that's
in.
Wonderful. Right. Very good.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, since Gary made me come up to support him and I didn't get to say anything, I'd like to take this I just wanted to take this opportunity to recognize Mr. Jim Hamry, who is a member of the JCC, who is our senior member of the JCC, who is leaving us tomorrow. And I wanted to thank him for his knowledge and leadership over the years.
Is there further discussion? Further discussion? Thank you very much, gentlemen, for the report. Is there further business to come before the committee or the business? Hearing none, then this meeting is adjourned.